me about this reptilian humanoid issue that has been going around this planet for so long.
Well, a number of years ago, when I was listening on the sidelines to people who had said that they had been involved with the UFO community and such, I heard reports of the grays and these little diminutive small creatures, you know, that people were encountering. And, of course, the blondes and the human types before that through the 1950s. And I saw what appeared to be another entity that was entering the UFO paranormal. I guess it would be a modern mythology at this point, although there's basis of reality to every mythology, which described a humanoid type of a reptilian being that people were encountering. And at first, there were very, very few reports of encounters with these beings. And it took it from the field of just wondering if there's other life on Earth out here as to whether there's other life on Earth that lives with us that may be just as sentient as other people would claim that aliens are. And maybe these beings are just extensions of our own Earth's evolutionary process that may have gained intelligence and remained hidden from humanity underground in a parallel type of a world with its own culture, its own technologies, yet separated by boundaries of distance of magma and rock.
So they might not be extraterrestrial then?
That's what I've been trying to explain to the UFO community for a number of years, is maybe by us being steered towards outer space, maybe it's a misdirection. Maybe what we're really talking about is our creatures that have evolved from right here. So all the questions we've been asking when we attach the word extraterrestrial onto it or other planets is actually leaving a large loophole for scientists and politicians or anybody that we might try and sequester information from, a big loophole, because they might know about Earth-evolved intelligent creatures, but they don't know anything about extraterrestrials. Now, I'm not saying that extraterrestrials don't exist, but I'm saying, what if we're actually encountering more of the ones that are actually here already?
John, tell me a little bit about what these reptilians look like.
They range anywhere from 4 to 6.5 to 7 feet tall. They have a basis of a humanoid shape, meaning your trunk and your two limbs and your arms on each side and your head and all the structure and the symmetry being the same. But they're very muscular looking. They have three fingers and a claw. Some have different types of varied digits. The claws are blunted, sometimes very long and sharp. The military type of beings that are encountered, they think that maybe these talons are actually sharpened as a tool of weapon. And they have eyes with a vertical slit pupil usually, no hair, scales of varying sizes around the body. And these beings are extremely intimidating when people have encountered them. They lock eyes with these creatures, and once that occurs, it's almost like a stun. They're stunned, and they can't find any movement in their legs. And they're terrified, many people, because this has been the classical description of the devil.
And well, you're right. Are they particularly vicious? I mean, besides their horrible appearance, I mean, have they attacked human beings?
Well, I, first of all, many people would consider it a horrible appearance. I would consider it just an appearance. They might think that we're horrible looking.
Well, first. That's true. You know, it looks like
I can be pretty bad looking at times. I wake up in the morning and tell myself
good
that
point.
Every day.
I'll give you that one.
But they're not as vicious. They can be vicious, just like our human military that we train and we teach them to kill and to be vicious on the battlefield. So can theirs be. And I can imagine something weighing 260-270 pounds that's almost 7 feet tall, absolutely lean, looking like a running machine, that would be a pretty intimidating sight. So it might actually cast fear into a situation where really none is warranted. If you happen to meet somebody like that in the back alley, even though they might be a really great guy, you would automatically put up your defenses and be afraid.
Tell me a little bit about where you think they reside underground.
It looks like that where they're living is in geologically remote areas, in large underground cavern and cave systems. Some of these might be up in high mountain areas. The reports that are dominating the field have said that they've encountered these beings around the outskirts of society. usually near swamps or forests and such. And it looks like there might be other ancient legends that lend themselves to discovering where they may have set up large cultural cities and or bases underground. And those things smack of things like Agartha or Patala or any of the ancient ruins that have a large amount of reptilian iconography around it and different types of carvings and such, and the religions that rooted around there in Aboriginal times.
John, what is their method of travel? We have cars, we have airplanes, we have trains, buses. What do these creatures use, if anything?
Well, I'm assuming here that they are the beings that are flying some of these craft around, especially
right.
The ones down near Mexico, where there's already a prophesied return of a being of some type, a human or otherworldly, that's associated very much with Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent image. And no matter where you look around the world, you keep seeing the same type of symbolism drawn up into the conversation and into the locations of where these beings have been sighted.
David Icke believes that these creatures have an ability to shape-shift, and that, believe it or not, the Illuminati or elitists who are in power throughout this planet may be from the reptilian, bloodline. Do you think that's possible, or is that far-fetched?
Well, I think there's a great deal of entertainment value in a lot of the postulations made by people who tend to know that when we turn on the news, we like to hear the bad story and be afraid rather than be happy and good about something because it perks a person's attention. But they have repeatedly appeared to have the ability to change form at will and or by being aided with some sort of a technology. Now, are they living amongst us? That very well could be. Does it mean that all our politicians and everybody else that we would like to blame the ills of human society on are members of that species, just not shapeshift back into their natural form? I don't think so. It sounds to me like that's a very easy thing to do, is start a witch hunt and start blaming the people, other people who you know that generally are mistrusted or hated as being part of that species group. I think it's a disservice, actually, to the reptilians or the reptoids to be accusing them of being some of these politicians.
For how?
And they might feel that very same way, so we have to remember that.
For how long have they been sighted on this planet?
That's a tough question, but it looks as if they go back far, far in antiquity. We know from the very earliest works of early spiritual attainment, those of the shamans and the Aboriginal tribes around the world, as well as the early formations of Judaism, as well as Christianity, that in the Garden of Eden there was a walking, talking serpent that spoke to Adam and Eve and interacted, and that somebody came down and said, well, you're not supposed to be interacting, so go underground, and I want you to be enmities between each other, not trust each other. So the parallelisms in this type of a story associated with the underground go back pre the dawn of mankind to where man was basically first coming up with constructs of what God is or who's in control here.